You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boswell.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody manufactured
this. The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy. I'm raw. Thank you so much for asking. And I hope that, well, I know that you're in the same condition, my friend. This is a big night for us, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Now, who would have ever thought, Marco, four years, huh?
It doesn't even seem like it. It seems like yesterday.
Doesn't it? I mean, when you stop and think what we've gone through in 4 years, the trials and tribulations of Bigfoot hunters, the planning, the worldwide bullshit. I don't know a better way of putting it. But there's so much that we've gone through, all of us. I mean, all of the team members from across the nation, all of our listeners from around the world. I mean, what do we go out to now? We go out to 42 countries?
That's 36 countries, I think, 36 total. But you know what?
30?
Yeah, but 36. But you know what was really neat about all this? Is that every year we've gathered more and more. Now we got so many people that are part of our family and friends. I mean, there's no way we could possibly name them even in one show.
I was thinking of that. I remember when we did our first year, we had our first anniversary, Marco, and I think I know you remember.
Yeah.
Which we had the gentleman that started us off on radio. You know who that was?
Yeah, somebody's beeping in. That's okay, don't worry. They're just coming online.
But do you remember who I'm talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again, Tom.
Guy from Boston who started us out on one of the first radio stations.
Oh, Joe Mazza.
Joe Mazza, yeah. Matter of fact, he called me today and gave us our sincere to-dos about our fourth anniversary and wanted me to tell all our listeners out there that he still listens to us. And you know, we were just on his show about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I guess we've been the most celebrityism on his show as many times as we've been on there. My God, we've had to been on there about 25 times. It's been totally incredible. But, you know, I've heard from so many people, just as you have, you know, from around the globe, well-wishing us another 4 years plus. And,
yeah,
you know, all those naysayers who says that we wouldn't be here, where are we today?
I know. It's amazing. And, Tom, you'll never believe this. Well, as you know, well, you're going to say that shortly as some of our sick friends and stuff, but, I mean, the people that are not feeling too well or had some hard times. But you know what? This past couple of weeks, unbelievable Facebook stories from people. I mean, new people that are coming in and telling us, you know, encounters and things they've had. I mean, it's hot out there. It's really hot. I now have more people than I can put on a show. I've got 2-3 shows worth of people.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, I know.
You know, Twitter and all this new confabulating craziness, how these things all get come together and put it's a synergy. You know that?
Yeah.
This just synergizes everybody's community and puts them all together. And if you want to get something out there quickly, I guess this is the nucleus to do it in, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, it's a real fast community gatherer, I'm going to tell you that. Wow. It's amazing.
You know, Marco, I want to tell you this, okay? If it wasn't for you, there would be no me and there would be no show. And the relentless hours that you put into this for the last 4 years, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And a lot of our people and fans and friends and family out there also send their love to you and thank you for what you've done for us. I commend you, my brother.
Well,
kudos.
I appreciate that, Tom, but it's not just me. There is just so many people, you included, you know, that just spend a lot of time to make this happen. And there's a lot of our friends out there that make every effort to keep in contact with us and let us know the latest happenings. I mean, there's a network of people throughout the United States and Canada that just keep in touch with us all the time, and it's just so wonderful. And you know, some of them are researchers, but many of them aren't. They're just regular, everyday people, go out, have an encounter. But when they hear a story or something, they let us know about it. It's so neat. It is so neat.
You know, you're exactly right. And I was going through some of the archives this afternoon, and I was seeing where there was one gentleman that just loved Jody. You know, you remember Jody?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
They says, my gosh, that woman has had such wonderful experiences, and when they hear her voice and her tell her story on the radio, it just makes them more enthralled, and they can't wait until they hear from her again. And by the way, if that guy's name was Tom Yannick, panic, and we're going to get her on there again for you, Tom. Don't worry. You know, why don't you give out the shout-outs to our people who need to get well and who are in the hospital, well wishes, and then
yeah,
I'll do some shout to our friends. How's that?
Absolutely. Go for it, Tom.
Well, no, you do the people who are not doing too well, and I'll do the shout-out to the people.
I'm well, Tom, you know, we take a look at Tim Walters is a guest that we haven't had on yet, and right in the middle of everything that's happened, he's had a couple encounters here in the last couple of weeks, and right in the middle of that, his mother turned ill and is not expected to survive, and him and his family are gathered around her side. She's barely hanging on by a thread, and from week to week. And I contacted him every week just to see how he's doing. And so we send our prayers and our condolences and well wishes out to him and his family and his mother especially. Hopefully she can get good health. Jan Ellen and his wife both are going through some difficult times right now. Alex Hearn, mother, really having a hard time too. And, of course, Steve Dismore, one of our good old friends again, too, he's been having some problems. You know, he's had all that surgery and stuff in the past couple of months. And, my gosh, he's just, I don't know, some of the things he's going through are painful. But Anyway, those are the folks that we know of right now. There is one other individual, Tom, and I just don't know who it is. I heard about it today, and Chuck Krill let me know that one of the members of the team that him and that he knows and goes out with them, he has been diagnosed with some very serious, he's not going to make it. I mean, he's a throat cancer, and he's just got a few weeks to live, and that's probably about it. But he told Greg Worthington and Chuck to go out there and hit it just like he was with them. And, I mean, what can you say? What kind of family is that? So those are the
You know who else, too, that you didn't mention is A.K. Riley. He's been there behind fighting constantly. He's been in the hospital, out of the hospital, out there in Arizona. To A.K. and to all the other people that my fine co-producer, Marco Bill, just announced, we wish you all the best in the world, and our prayers go out to you. Now, on the other side of the coin, ladies and gentlemen, I want to do some shout-outs to some fine people that have been writing in and calling. I want to start off with Leroy Blevins out there in Ohio. Hello, my friend. You've heard me talk about him, ladies and gentlemen. This guy has done work beyond the nines. You get a photo, you get something from out there, and you're not sure. You let him analyze it, and he dissects it from top to bottom. Kudos to you, my fine friend. Jimmy out there in Texas, great questions. Keep them coming. Libby in Arizona, she's a bachelor. She just got her bachelor in psychology, ladies and gentlemen, and she wants to go on expedition, find one of these creatures on her own. I applaud you, Libby. Mark Kane up there in Lake Tahoe, he says, I've got an unemployed dad. Can he come with you to go to work with you? Anytime we're up in the area, Mark, send your dad out. We'd love to have him. Robert Evans, Northern Georgia, got our movie. Now he has peace of mind. Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. After seeing our movie, here's a guy that had an encounter or two. He has peace of mind now. Thank you, my friend. Anytime you need any more peace of mind, give us a call. We're as close as your phone. Aaron J. Boya, Las Vegas. Loves what we're doing and wants to join in. You know what? And I know what you do for a living, Aaron J. Boya. You're the best at it, too. Keep up that good work, my friend. Ron Pachula, Canada, wants to know if we can help him with the Sylvanic creature up there. Guys, you know, we did an episode on the Sylvanic creature up there in Canada. They were lobbying to try to save the creature up there. True story of it is, ladies and gentlemen, there was an expedition that went out looking for the Sylvanic creature, which is the Canadian Bigfoot that we have down here. They don't tell you the full story. They were never found. The expedition that went out to find one of these creatures never came back. Whatever happened to him? Big question mark. Sarah Cole, Alabama. She's a journalist. And wants to do a story with us, ladies and gentlemen. We get so many calls for that. You know what, Sarah? Give me a call. I'll yield and tell you what you need to know. Stephanie Brockery, this woman is incredible. She wants to know, she says, Tom, I've done a book for children, and you know the famous Patterson film, the footage is, I think it was 360, that film? He says, who can I go to get that to publish it in my book? I think it's public domain, Stephanie. That's all you need to do is just Google it and you'll find out. I talked about Tom Panic. He writes and would like to join our expedition, and he loved Jody. We're going to get her on for you, my friend. Met a new person, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is T. T. Redmond. She's down there in Pebble Beach. You are marvelous, darling. Just totally marvelous. We're going to have her on the show some night, too. My gentle giant up there in Northern Cal, where are you going to go with this guy? He's been so loyal to us, you have no idea. He's one of the greatest Bigfoot people around. John Smith from Indiana, loved our movie. Oh, man. And he says, Tom, I saw one of these creatures, and when I saw your movie, you guys had the section of the hand from Montana. I saw a face of one in the background. I don't know. Have you seen it? Well, I haven't looked at it lately, but I'm going to look at it real soon, and I'm going to find out myself. Thanks for bringing that to my attention, John Smith. Leroy Joyner, Texas. Hey, buddy. I need a vocabulary fix real quick. Need to see you, my friend. We're coming out to Texas. Hope you're going to join us. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard me talk about Lee, Lee Joyner. This guy has a vocabulary that will not quit. I thought I heard them all, but you got to hear his. My cheerleaders, ladies and gentlemen, you hear me talk about them. The relentless hours and time that these girls put behind the work that I do and my team do, I can't say enough about them. Connie up in Canada, Becky in Washington, Susan in Minnesota, Bo out in Alabama. I haven't forgotten you, Bo, in Alabama. You are the best. Jizz up in California. They don't get any finer than you. Frankie in Mississippi. And Miss Calabash, wherever you are, and you know who you are. It would not be possible without you, darling. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. And these are some of the strong people in our shout-outs around the globe, ladies and gentlemen. We hear from these people all the time, and there's some new ones there also. You know, there's a double-fold reason for this show, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait any longer. Marco, Bill, do you mind if I read the email that we got from Big Cat Productions?
You just go right ahead, Tom.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this does my heart really good. We got a letter. You heard me talk about Ron Lyon from Big Cat Productions. I'm going to read it to you verbatim. Tom, first off, happy anniversary to you and your crew. Tom Biscardi and Big Cat Productions, whose principals are Ron Lyon, the creator of ABC's Ripley's Believe It or Not, starring Jack Palance and Jenny Pichelle, author and co-creator with Ron Lyon of the Discovery Channel series, Would You Believe It?, are entering into a co-production deal with Dick Clark Productions, now part of the Six Flags family. They acquired about 40%, ladies and gentlemen, of Dick Clark Productions, Flags, and a major United States broadcaster to develop and produce new reality series featuring Biscardi. Me, because of the sensitive nature of the subject matter, specific details of the series cannot be disclosed. However, what can be said is that the series will also include select members of the Searching for Bigfoot team, as well as other experts who will traverse the globe in search of the elusive creature, Bigfoot. More details will be available once the pilot is produced. Big Cat and DCP, Dick Clark Productions, hoping to begin production late 2010 or first quarter of 2011. Well, I've talked to them on the phone, and that production is going to happen within the next 30 days, gentlemen. A dream come true. Kudos, kudos, kudos. It's come true for us, me and my boys, and this is going to be huge. First Bigfoot reality series ever, and is being backed by the Dick Clark Productions. Unbelievable, off the hook, off the chain. I cannot say any more, and I've been bursting at the seams all day, ladies and gentlemen. So this is an awful big honor for me, Marco, my team, my boys, my family, and it's finally, after all these years, it's coming to full circle, and we're going to be on TV. You people out there, besides seeing us on our movies, on our documentaries, we're going to be a part of your living room every week. See us how we see it, when we see it, and where we're at doing it. I want to thank all of you people who were part of this, made it happen, and worked so hard to get us to where we are today. What did you think when you saw that today, Marco?
I almost fainted. I did. I was elated.
The beautiful thing about it to me was is it happened the day of our fourth year anniversary, and that meant an awful lot to me, as it did you, and to the boys, you know, also. But you know what? You've assembled one hellacious show here tonight. You know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, wow. And it, leave it to you, and it's happening. You know what we're going to do? We're running a little over time as it is, because I get a little long-winded, ladies and gentlemen, so please forgive me. But it's our fourth year anniversary, and we're entitled to it. I'm not a drinking man, those of you who know me, but if I had some Chivas Regal right now, I'd be drinking a shot or two, I'll tell you. So, and you stay off the booze tonight until we're through, Marco.
Hey, Tom, well, I'm going to do just about a two-second thing. We don't have time to give it all on the air, but I told these guys on the Facebook, I sent a little request out to everybody, and I said, hey, tell me about your most interesting experience. An encounter with Bigfoot, and we got a bunch of responses. I'm only going to give out three tonight, but just I'm not going to read the whole story. All I'm going to do is tell them this. We're going to have him on the show as a guest in the upcoming weeks here, and we'll contact him and do that. But I just wanted to say their names, if you don't mind. Jesse of Utah, 3 weeks ago, hiking in the Unitaw Mountains. What an experience he had. Guy of North Carolina, at a music festival, Bigfoot ate up their sandwiches. and also, we got Travis of Wyoming fishing 2 years ago. And he had a within 6 inches of this creature. What an experience. So anyway, there's those three people, and there's a couple others, and we'll be contacting them and putting them on the show. Tom, our first guest, are you ready?
I am. We're going out to Texas, ladies and gentlemen, to a gal named Lisa. I'm going to tell you something straight up. This gal had contacted me. She had seen this creature face to face. That's right. Listen up real closely in case you're falling asleep. Face to face, ladies and gentlemen. She had seen this creature. It's been coming around her area for around 4 years, but now it's been coming very regularly. Lisa, are you out there?
Hit your *7 button, Lisa.
Lisa, you out there from Texas?
Yes, hello.
Good evening, dear.
Good evening. And
how are you?
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking from your family life there out there in Texas and coming on our show and sharing your story. I was enthralled when you and I had first talked, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so new, and it's going on right now. I felt it very important that you enlighten my listeners out there about what you experienced. And I'm begging of you, if you would be kind enough, tell the story when you saw it face-to-face at your window.
Okay.
You got the floor.
Okay. Well, it was one evening. I was outside tending to some business just before dark, and I started getting a whistle. Now, I live out in the county, so I don't have a whole lot of neighbors, and I started hearing a whistle, and I thought, well, who in the world is that? And so I thought maybe it was the back neighbor, because we got a pasture of cows behind us, so I thought maybe it was that fella. So I looked around, and he wasn't there. So I thought, well, you know, what's going on here? Well, I continued to ignore it and take care of my business and got in the house real quick before dark and then just locked my doors. And, of course, my husband works a strange shift, so he wasn't at home. And so I just went ahead and took care of my family business, got my younger children, took care of them, got them in bed and all that. And so then later I decided to jump on the Internet. And I was sitting there, and it was probably between 9 or 10 that evening. And all of a sudden, I started hearing that same whistle. And I have a little chihuahua, and she was sitting at my feet. And, well, I got a big bay window at the other opposite end of the room that I was sitting in. And she immediately charged the window and went to barking, and when I looked up, there it was, whistling. And I said, oh, my God, I froze. I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do. And I was going to try to call my chihuahua down, try to get her to come back over to me. And I just froze at the computer. I didn't know what to do. I was scared to death. And it just continued to stand there and whistle. And then after several minutes of that, and I guess because I wasn't reacting to it, it started tapping on the window. And it just continued to do that. And all that went on for about 15 or 20 minutes. And, of course, my chihuahua kept trying to go and attack it. And at some point, I began to wonder if there might have been two, because he kept going also towards the kitchen door that led out. And, I couldn't see there, but he kept going to both the window and the door. And so I was just scared to death. And then there towards the end, when I didn't know what to do, all of a sudden it like shoved the window, and I thought, and it kind of grunted and growled. So I thought that it was coming through the window. So I began to run towards where my gun and the children were. But then when I realized I got out of that room and partially in the other room, I realized it wasn't any glass break. So I went back to see, and it was gone. And that's what happened that night. And every night since then, pretty much, we've been having incidences. So,
was that the hairiest one that you had that really blew you away?
Yeah, pretty much. It was. And the first time was 4 years ago. Of course, one ran in front of us. And that just amazed me and my husband, too, and which was also in the same area. And let me tell you, them things are large, very large.
Did you get a chance? Let me ask you something, Lisa. Did you get a chance to see its face?
Yes.
Absolutely. What did it look like? What did the nose look like? What did the teeth look like? What the hair? Was it long hair, brown hair?
No. The hairs on it, on this one and on the first one that we witnessed, it was short hairs, maybe, you know, 2-3 inches long. And on the top of the head, it's on both heads, which in the bay window one, I really only seen from, like, the neck and up. But and the one that ran in front of us, of course, we've seen the whole body. But on the head, it's a little bit heavier than the rest of the body. And, of course, it was the reddish-brown color. But on the body part, you can actually see the skin under the hair. And you can make out the muscles and all that and everything. And the face reminded me of, like, in the evolution of man, kind of around the Neanderthal period. And that's the best way I can describe it.
What color were the eyes?
Huh?
What color were the eyes?
As far as I could tell, they were black. I mean, just black, dark, scary looking.
Did you get a chance to see the teeth at all?
No, I didn't see any of the teeth, no. And as far as I can recall, as far as the ears, they're just, I guess, like ours. You know, I could kind of tell that, you know, they're laid back on the head like a human's ears. And I've had another question that somebody, well, what kind of buttocks do they have? Well, thinking back about that one that ran in front of us, I had to think, and you know what? It's got a human. You know, the question was posed to me, is it human, or did it appear to be human butt or a eight, you know, rear, whatever. And I, you know, it's like a human. I remember it being a butt. So, I'm sorry.
No. Don't ever be sorry. It's your platform. But I'll tell you, Lisa, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to have you back. We're just going to do a segment just with you. But I just wanted to give a lick of the lollipop to my listeners out there. You're fresh meat. And I have to say one thing to you. welcome to the world of Sasquatch, my dear.
I know, right?
we're gonna be out there to see you. Why don't you just push your mute button? We got a whole lot of show ahead, and thank you for spending part of your evening with us.
Okay. Well,
Lisa,
thank you.
Lisa, just hit your star six button again.
Okay.
Thank you again, Lisa. Ladies and gentlemen, I on a show like this, I just like to just bring you to the guests that we've had throughout the different years and to tell their story and bring you up to date. But I thought it was important enough that this just happened to show you how real this stuff is. So it's not, you know, placating the same stories over and over and over, but yet here's new stuff. She's the new kid on the block, yet she's been encountering this stuff for years. And guess who they call? That's right, Bigfoot Hunter. We'll be out there to see her. You're going to see her on TV, too. Well, I'll tell you, I talked to her the other day, and she just had goosebumps going up and down my spine. Great gal. I can't wait to see her in person, too, by the way. I guess we're going out there to Georgia now, are we?
Yes, we are. Jan.
I'm here. Okay, good buddy. Jan Allen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had him on our show, Northern Georgia, many times before. He's been out on so many expeditions himself. I can't wait till, our first episode on the borderline of Georgia and Alabama and Florida. So, Jan, you know what that means to you.
Oh, yeah. Be there or be square.
Right, buddy. That's right. You know, I got to tell you, you heard us at the top of the hour. 4 years, and people were betting that we'd be gone after 2 weeks. And here we are 4 years later, and probably the magistrate of all Bigfoot shows ever, still here going strong and getting stronger. Believe me. I get so many emails, Jan, and people are just enamored with your stories about what's going on in northern Georgia. Why don't you bring us up to date a little bit and let our listeners know what's been going on out there in your area.
Okay, well, first off, Tom, I did want to tell you congratulations on your 4 years, and you'll be here for a long time to go yet. You're not going to quit anytime soon. You're not going to leave me here by myself anyway, I hope. Me and Marco.
Hell no. Thank you so much, buddy. Thank you. We'll be until they put the top of the casket on us.
There you go. Well, we can keep Marco off the bottle. We'll be doing all right.
It's out, Marco. Everybody knows your story now.
I'm changing it around.
Yeah, it's all over the place, Marco. You can't hide it now. But anyway, well, Tom, you know, here in 2 weeks, we got our big expedition going back up to northwest Georgia. We were up there in April, and we had a sighting of three individual Bigfoots within 10 minutes of each other. We got photographs of one, which you've seen. I've still got my same old stuff going on around the house here where he's still coming down and unplugging the light on me. Basically, really, that's about it, other than, you know, the reports that I've had come in from up above Cummings, Georgia. We had one that came in from, Clayton County. Then I had one from Coweta County. So, you know, the sightings are starting to pick up here in Georgia. And, you know, there for a while, they were very, very few. But they're starting to pick up, and we're starting to hear about them and getting out there and checking on them.
Well, you know, that's what I was going to ask you. You know, we're coming up on the migrational route here in the next month or so, and I tell everybody to keep their ears to the ground and eyes to the trees as you're out there now, because this is probably the quickest and best time of the year, this in the springtime when they come out of hibernation or migration period, to actually see one of these creatures. And because it's the work that people like you do, the work that everybody else does, the work that we do, makes the world aware of these of these unknown primates. And I tell you, I take my hat off to you, because not many people, as you know, get out into the brush, beat the bushes, as you do, as we do, as all the other people that were on our show. There's a lot of people that let their fingers do the walking, let's say, through the computer world and the world of the wide world net, and they piggyback onto everybody else's stories, but very few get out into the brush. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, thank you for them comments, and my hat's off to you, and I say the same thing back to you. You know, there is very few of us that do get out there and do it, but, and, you know, when it's all said and done at the end of the day, and this thing is finally proven to exist, we're going to be able to set back time and say, you know what, we were one of the very few that had the guts to get out there and do it.
You're exactly right. We're the pioneers, okay, sort of being, of the people who took to the front, shook the bushes, made noise, and made it cognizant to the world that, hey, oh, by the way, there is something out there. I mean, stop and think about this just for a second, Jan. 4 years ago, we would get maybe one person a month that would tell us their story. Now we get anywhere from 4 to 12 people a day. And do you know why? It's people like you, like us, like the people in Four Corners, the people in Minnesota, the people up in Montana, the people in Washington, the people in Arizona, Texas. It goes on and on and on. I mean, we've been in practically every state in the union. We don't go in people's backyards. No, there's somebody made a comment to me the other day, and they said, oh, well, what'd that guy do? He did a hell of a lot more than you, partner, because you've never been out in the brush. And this guy, taking, you know, there's people out there right now, Jan, that save their money, every little bit of their health money that they, and it, because you got to really make it stretch today because of the economy, as you know. But the little money that they do save, they're going out there trying to capture one of these creatures or take a picture of one, okay? Because they've had an encounter, they've had an experience. They know what it's all about. It's people like me and people like you that have kept the faith alive for making sure that these other people who can't get out there can see
right
it through all of and the work that we do in film. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, Tom, me and you've had this conversation a few times before. You can't sit behind a computer and expect this thing to come to you. It's not going to. We got to get out in his yard, in his living room. We got to do the research. We got to come up with the evidence to take to the scientific world to say, hey, look, open your eyes. Take a look. You know, we put everything that you've asked for in front of you. Everything from plaster casts to hair samples to now DNA. And, you know, they say, oh, well, we want a body. We want a body. And it's going to happen eventually. But, you know, everything that they've asked for, we've given them. And if they ask for more, we're going to, you know, Tom, you're just like me. You're going to give it to them. That's what it's all about.
One way or the other, you know that? And you know, remember this, Jan, because I'm going to have to let you go. The cream rises to the top, my good friend. Don't ever forget that. And guess what?
Yep.
You're part of that cream. And it's an honor to know you and have you on our show.
Well, Tom, it's an honor to be on the show and to know you too, my friend.
God bless you. Mute yourself out. There's a lot more to go. On the other side of the commercial, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go see my other boy out there in Pennsylvania, Kenny. But we need to go out to commercial and pay some bills. It's on you, Marco.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up above them.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
but it is
size
like
and everything else. They just were too realistic
and they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody was manufactured this.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
It's back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marco. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me say it each and every week. Bigfoot Lives, our award-winning documentary. This movie has to be the most authoritative Bigfoot documentary out there today. You're going to see a lot of the scientific stuff. You're going to see a lot of the make-believe stuff. You're going to see the stuff that was done in somebody's backyard. I don't know how many states, five, six, seven, that are in this series, but it'll blow your mind, okay? And all we do is we just put it out there to you, ladies and gentlemen. As we see it, when we see it, how we see it, and the people tell the story of their encounter. That's all we've done. We've done no enhancements. We've done no reenactments. This is how we do our job. We leave it up to you. You tell us what you think. One hell of a movie. That's why it won Best Documentary at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. And I'm very proud of that, ladies and gentlemen. Put a lot of work into that, a lot of hard work went into it, and a lot of good people was along the ride with it. And they're still with us today, most of them anyway. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Pennsylvania, northern PA, to my boy, Kenny. How are you, Ken?
Ken, hit your *7 button.
Kenny, you're out there, son?
Hello?
How are you?
Hi. Happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you and Janine, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, we've had Kenny on the show many, many times. He's a gentleman up there in PA who took those photos on that new film. What do you call that camera?
It's a flip camera.
Yeah, flip camera. Okay. This is the first time I'd ever seen them, ladies and gentlemen, and they're incredible. And he took the photos or the video of this thing that we had analyzed, and it came back, and we all saw it. We saw the head, we saw the nose, we saw the eyes, we saw the mouth, saw the arms and the shoulder. But supposedly this one expert came back and said, oh, no, it's a leaf. It's on our website. Go to searchingforbigfoot.com. Take a look at it yourself. Go under the table of contents. Go to Pennsylvania, and you'll see it. Okay? It's awful hard for me to believe. I was there. I saw it with the crew. I traversed the 7 miles in those mountains. Where were we? Where was the mountains we were in, Kenny?
We were on the Appalachian Trail. It was called Peter's Mountain. We actually went up. We took the walk back there today, Janine and I. It's about a six-mile walk. She's a little tired. She's in bed now. I wore her out today, but it was a nice walk. I'll tell you, Tom, she has been a trooper the last couple of months. We've been really getting out there a lot. I myself have gone most of the time by myself, and I've had two experiences, excuse me, where I've heard rock clapping. And this is two mountains over down along the creek. I think they were staying near the creek because we were hitting, mid-90s. Hundreds for a good part of the summer. So I think they were staying near the creek, the waterways there. So I was going to this site and, trying some tree knocking and got responses from some rock clapping twice. So I was telling Janine, I said, you got to come up here and experience this. And she's a little skeptical at times. She said, you're probably hearing things. I said, no, I'm not hearing things. You come along, you listen with your own ears, and you tell me what you think. Well, I'll be golly if it didn't happen. It was about a week and a half ago. We went up, and I started doing some tree knocking. I said, just sit back and listen. Just be quiet. And we started hearing the brush popping about, 20, 30 yards in front of us. And a plane went overhead. And I can hear
So it made a little more noise. So I heard something walk down the hill as the plane went over, and down by the creek, didn't these rocks start clapping? And I looked at her, and her eyes were the size of silver dollars. I'm telling you, they looked like they were going to pop out of her head. So it went on for probably about, I don't know, maybe a minute, and it stopped. I said, Janine, I'm going to go down with the flip video, and I'm going to walk in. So I started walking down the hill down towards the stream, and I didn't see anything. The rock clapping stopped, and I didn't see anything. But I said to her, I said, I told you, you know, a lot of people will never even experience something like that. I said, you know, I know you want to see one, but just to hear something like that, and we were miles into the woods, I said, you know, there's not many things out there that are going to start banging two rocks together other than a human. And I said, Janine, there's no one up here but me and you. So she did get to experience that. But we're getting out there. We're going to be up on that Appalachian Trail as much as we can the next month, because I feel that they're going to move down through, up through New York State, Maine, Canada, down through that Appalachian Trail. So we'll be up
there. Do you remember the time of year it happened last year?
October 6th.
Right.
October 6th.
Right. And you're coming up. Here's a big question. People keep asking me these questions, and I'm going to impose the same questions to you, Kenny. Has your encounter, your experience, changed your life, and if it has, in which way?
It definitely has changed my life. At first, it was good, and then it went bad, and now I'm to the point where I don't care, you know. Say what you want about me. Laugh at me. I don't care. If you want to believe me, that's fine. If you don't want to believe me, that's also fine. So, you know, I've had mixed emotions for the last year. It's been a heck of a year emotionally, but now I'm fine. And like I said, if you don't believe it, go to the website. I'll tell you, for the people that, I'm sure a lot of people have looked at it, but what I'd like you to do, go down to where the head turns, the GIF where the head turns. Take your mouse, right-click, and save that picture as one of your pictures on your computer. Then go into your pictures and blow that picture up, okay? You can stand back and take a look at it. You'll be able to see the legs moving. You'll see the head turn. You'll see the knee bend. But go ahead and do that. Just save that GIF picture of the head turn as one of your pictures. And now there's some computers that aren't set up where it'll show the motion. It'll just show, you know, just the picture itself. But some computers are actually showing the motion part. So hopefully yours is set up where it shows the motion part. But it's interesting. Step back, blow it up, and look at it. I mean, it's definitely not a leaf. But make your own mind up. You know, I'm not trying to make a decision for you. Take a look and see what you think, you know.
You know, that's very well put, Kenny. I got to tell you something, you know. You've had an emotional roller coaster ride going on a year next month. You've experienced something that very few people in the world experience. But more so than that, it's hit you close at home. It's hit you to the degree of emotionally, you could have been a train wreck. But you know what? I take my hat off to you. You have weathered the storm, son, in a fashion that no other could. You are a true and real man. And I tell the world out there, I met this man. We were his guest on his turf. He's a real, real man. Say what you want about him. Say what you want about me. Say what you want about the rest of the brethren in the Bigfoot world. We know the truth because we've been out there. We know the truth because we've had these encounters. We know the truth because we've seen it. It's bestowed. We happen to be the fortunate ones been able to see one of these creatures, have their encounter, and What you went through going on 1 year, I've been going through for 37 years. Think about it.
I think that's what I wrote in the one email. I said, you know, Tom, I'm, and my language wasn't so nice on how crazy I've been going. But like I said, I know you've been going through it a lot longer, and I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Well, let me tell you how I do it. I got broad shoulders, and it's like water off a duck's back. Those who know me, those who know you, know the truth. Know this wide world web, the triple W's. You can say anything you want. But when you want to know the truth, ladies and gentlemen, contact the person face-to-face, spend a little time, and then you'll know the truth and get to know that person. You'll get on the bandwagon quicker than hell. Son, I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart. It's been an honor to know you and Janine. Welcome. Like I told you before, I welcome you to our family. And more so than anything, welcome to the world of Sasquatch, son.
Thank you. And again, congratulations, and God bless you and Marco.
Thank you so much. And you know what? Mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us. And remember one thing. You are one of the pegs that makes this wheel turn. Don't ever forget it.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kenny out there in northern PA. One hell of a real man. Remember that word I used, real man, okay? He gets out there diligently now. He takes his wife with him. They go forth, and they still look. Each and every time they get some spare time, and they're doing it, not just for themselves. They're doing it out there for the rest of us who want to prove something to the world. A real guy. You know, without any further ado, and when the show is moving along just perfectly, ladies and gentlemen, went out to my boy. He used to be out here in California. Here's the guy that you've all heard me talk about. Here's the guy that heard me on Coast to Coast with George Norrie when I put out a call for volunteers. Heard me talk about him, ladies and gentlemen. He's like my own boy, Rex Howdy Show. How you doing, son?
Just fine, Pop. How are you?
Well, it's top drawer. You know, this is a hell of a night for us, and you know what? This is part of your night. I mean, my God, how many expeditions have you been on with me, son?
Oh, over 10.
Over 10. You know, there's a lot of newcomers to the show, and not a lot of people know who you are and how we got to know each other. Why don't you be kind enough to tell everybody the story about Coast to Coast?
Okay, well, I like to listen to Coast to Coast. He's got some rather, he's educational when scientific and entertaining when wacky. But anyway, he had you on the show. You were trying to capture a Bigfoot. You were calling in, I guess, every Friday giving a report. But one Friday I was listening, and that was intriguing. You were excited about the prospect of trying to capture one of these things, especially on film, because you had those two cameras out by the river, by the creek there in Happy Camp. You asked for volunteers to call Java Bob's Bigfoot Deli, and I called you that weekend and volunteered, and you interviewed me, and you invited me out, and you had your vice president call me and give me directions.
Here's the big question. How long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago, August.
Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? Listen closely what he just said. He heard me on a radio station, prominent radio station to boot, Coast to Coast. I was on that station over 12 times. Every time I went on Coast to Coast with George Norrie, his ratings soared. They went up, okay? And obvious reasons. There was a lot of Bigfoot believers and people who were not aware of such things. They wanted more and more and more. It was the lick of the lollipop. But a call went out to get a volunteer. Here is a true story, a true life story, ladies and gentlemen, dream come true. People who wanted to come and be with the Bigfoot hunter and go on expeditions. 5 years later, sitting there telling the story, he's been on excess of 12 Bigfoot expeditions with me. How many TV shows have you been in with me?
I don't know. I lost count. Two film crews, at least two film crews, if not three, the movies, and then at least one news, two news crews. That's right.
You know, I get a lot of emails and phone calls from people about you, Rex, and they marvel at how you got to meet me, how we got to meet together, how the story came about, and I appreciate you telling the story. Why don't
You're
you
welcome.
Tell everybody, thanks again, why don't you tell everybody the thing that's going in the museum that you found when we left you there on the side of that mountain?
Oh, okay, yeah. You gave me a video camera and put me in the tent and assigned me to watch for Bigfoot every night. And I got a little bit anxious after 3 days, so I decided to go on a hike up that hillside where the creature came down. And so I took a hike, and I was actually thinking about camping up there because I was bored being down down at the first location. But I was looking for a campsite. I was hiking along the trail, and lo and behold, on the side of the trail, where a tree had fallen down in the and the ground was soft, dirt, there was looked like a footprint. And I could not believe that on my third day Bigfooting ever in my life, third day, I found a Bigfoot footprint. But I looked at it, I looked at it, I looked at it, and I just could not believe it, but it was perfect. I looked in back of me across the trail, and I could see through the bushes that something big was traveling. It was some kind of bear or Bigfoot trail going through the bushes. And I looked down the hill, and the footprint was pointing straight to that lady's backyard. And
here's the big question. What was the size of that print?
21 or 22 inches long.
22 inches from toe to heel. That's correct. And across the top, from toe to toe, width. What was it?
Oh, gosh. It was 8 or 9 inches, something like that.
9 inches from toe to toe on the top, then on the bottom it was 4.5. One of the largest prints, ladies and gentlemen, and this man found it. Oh, by the way, where was I in the proximity when you found this?
Well, you guys had gotten an urgent call to go to Nevada. You collected your team together finally, and you left to go to Nevada and left me there on to watch the cameras and stuff.
You were the lone vigil. So, in other words, if anybody says, oh, well, Biscardi made that print, could have that been possible?
No, you weren't even in town. You came into town the day I got there, too.
Exactly.
You would not have had time. You would not have had time to make a print like that.
Yeah. And I didn't even know what area you were going. How do I know where you were going? I left you stationary in that woman's vicinity of her home, right?
Right. I changed my own assignment.
That's right. So that's a pretty incredible story, ladies and gentlemen. It's the old adage, okay? Seek and you will find. And that's what happened there. Let me ask, there's other questions that people have been asking like crazy about you. They want to know what's been the most exciting expedition you've been on with me.
There's several, and I described it last time on, a couple of them on the show last time I was on. One that I didn't mention was the night of the almost tornado. Remember that?
Oh, my God.
Where we had five locations, five stations that you had mapped out on the map, and I was at station number 5. We had no action, but station number 2 had action. Station number 4, I believe, had action that night. And then the almost tornado kind of drenched us all. And... we teamed up and moved over to Team 4. And I think that Team 2 didn't. They were the ones playing peekaboo. I think it was a creature playing peekaboo with them.
That's right.
And
that's
I was so jealous because three guys on that team. That was their first expedition, and I had already been on three with you before that, so this was my fifth one, and I had not seen one yet, and I was so jealous of those three people on the first expedition with you, and they get to see one.
Pretty amazing stuff, isn't it?
It's so random.
Okay, well, that was a good, what was the other one that really intrigued you, that you really enjoyed?
Well, when we went out and found those bunkers, we had to get boated out several, about a mile out along the lake to the bunkers. And we were going up the hill, and, we went out there, I guess we were in that area twice, at each end of the lake. Tim had gone, Tim had gone off the trail to our left. Well, this time, 2 weeks later, we were going up the trail, and we heard noises off to our left. And, we thought, was it Tommy? And I'm thinking, well, it must be Tim. He's going off to the left again. And we kind of ignored. Here we are looking for Bigfoot, and we ignored those sounds, thinking, well, it's one of our crew. And then, about a minute later, we looked behind us, and there the cameraman and Mike were looking in the woods, and they had seen the creature. Gosh.
Pretty incredible stuff. You know which one the story comes out to my mind? Was when we were up there in the Four Corners, up there on that mountain ridge there, where we had to virtually drive out our own road. Never forget that.
Yeah. When that
you
was
said
some road.
Wasn't it something? That's where we damaged our rig twice, too. And then you said, stop. Saw something, and there was one guy that ran out of that rig with you down that ravine. Who was it?
That was Tom Biscardi.
Right. They all say, oh, the old man is too old to traverse these mountains and to get out there and go into these creeks and these bayous and these bogs and swamps. And isn't it amazing how this old man gets out there and takes point?
Well, in 100-plus degree weather, too.
Oh, baby. You remember that,
I gave you my water twice, I think.
Yeah.
Gave you water.
Yeah. I got to tell you something, Rex. Some of the most memorable occasions was having you there with us. I remember, I look at the newsreels now and then. They called you the electronic guru, I think, in one of them. Where you had set up all that stuff, how fearless you were. Everybody else was gone, and they were afraid to go back because it was pitch black. And I'm telling you something, ladies and gentlemen, under the canopy of darkness, and when there's no moon, you have no idea, and you hear these strange creaks and noises at night, knowing that you're the only one there, and then all of a sudden on this leaf litter, you're hearing these footfalls. You're saying, what could be walking out here on two, but everybody else is gone, and I'm the only one here. Did that ever go through your head, by the way?
Oh, yeah. What the heck am I doing? But I was dedicated. Yeah.
Yes, you were. And I'll tell you what, it's been an honor to have you all along, and I can't wait until next one. Listen, we're right on target here, son, and thank you for your 2 cents tonight. I know it's 3 hours difference where you're at. How's the weather there, by the way?
It's gonna storm tomorrow night.
Has the weather been getting down zero yet?
It has cooled off, and we're seeing the leaves starting to change now. So fall is here.
Here to stay, huh? Okay. Listen, just mute yourself out, son. We've got still a good half hour to come, and thanks for being a part of our life.
Thank you for including me in your expeditions. It's an adventurous and fun.
Well, it's been an honor to have you and an experience that I'll never forget, and it'll go down in the annals of greatest times ever. Thanks again, son.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to hear him one more time. That's Rick Tally's show, Come Like My Own Boy. And just an incredible, incredible man. And he's fearless. Those of you who met him, those of you who know him, they all thought he was one of these electronic geeks. Well, I'll tell you what, that electronic geek, I would want nobody else out there covering my back. Him and Rob Price and Alex Hearn, you don't get better than that. Those are three of the top right there, okay? That's the kind of person you want covering your back. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go out to my other brother now, up to the north, Montana. Here's a man that we met, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago also, and he become so close to us. You saw him in the national news. You saw him in Bigfoot Lives. My brother, Bruce Schilt from Montana. Bruce, you out there, son?
Hey, Bruce, hit your star 7 button.
Hello, Tom. Everybody. Bruce.
Hello, brother. How are you?
I'm terrific, Tom. Just terrific.
So I got to tell you something, Bruce. When I saw the lineup that Marco Bill had here today, and I recollect on every one of the names and locations where I've been with you and Rex and Kenny and Alex and all these other people who are on the show. And it just reminds me of just yesterday because I miss it so much. It's in my blood. It's in that quest to know and to find out. Then, you remember how we first met?
You bet I do.
Tell the story.
We found some Bigfoot tracks on January 1st, and I think that was, when was it?
2006.
And newspaper got a hold of it and put a picture in newspaper, and I guess you found it on the computer or something, and you called me and drove 22 hours straight through and came over and checked out the prints and the story and gave us a good breakfast. Got to visit.
You remember all that, huh, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, just like it was yesterday, Tom.
Isn't that amazing? That's the thing I was just saying to myself, you know. It was just like yesterday all this had happened, you know. We've all become so close. You know, you and the wife and the kids and, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe it was destiny. Call it what you want. But, you know, we became so close. And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, his wife, Donna, she is one hellacious cook. Of course, every time we get out there, me and the guys, my God, she'd cook for us. And it's just like being home again, okay? And all the people out there on the reservation. This is, by the way, the Blackfeet Reservation. And Browning up there in Montana. And I'll tell you what, it don't get very hot up in that area. Matter of fact, what's the average temperature all year long there?
Well, I think we've seen 80 there about 3 days in a row. And lately it's been in the 40s and high 50s, but, you know, not T-shirt weather yet.
So what is the average winter? What's like in January and February?
Oh, you wouldn't want to be here, Tom. Snow gets over, plumb over the cars and drifts everything in. You can't see across the fence and about 30, 40 below and, you know, it just, you just put on a pot of beans and make some fry bread, them kind of days.
And those are the days I love being there. By the way, tell the people out there, okay, because I remember it, we clocked it at 13 below when we were out there. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So is it true that the Bigfoot hunter and his crew just stay in front of a fire, or what do they traverse that type of weather?
Oh, we stumbled through the snow, and we fought the wind, and we made it to where we was going. Yeah, we don't sit around no fires. We do it. Yeah.
And that's the whole point, you know. I want it. Coming from you is a lot better than coming from me, Bruce, because it's, they all read these stories on the internet and all that garbage. You know what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, I'm glad that you're on right now. Remember in one of the big towns, you got a call from some clown?
And
remember that?
Yeah, I sure do.
And what happened? Tell everybody out there what happened.
He gave me a bunch of BS about, oh, they had a big conference, Bigfoot conference down there, and they needed me down there. They was going to pay for my room and my eats and pay me for the story and this and that. And remember who we talked about, you know, if any of that stuff came up, I was supposed to call you, so I did, and you call that up and just made a big liar out of him. He backed up every way that he said, you know. He just showed him what he was, just a big phony.
I'll never forget that day when I did the conference call with him and you and I on the phone. I think the guy shit his pants.
I think so.
So tell the listeners out there what's been going on over there in your neck of the woods.
Okay, yesterday Hiram came. You remember Hiram Upham?
I know him very well, him and his daughter and his wife. Tell him I said hello.
Okay. He was telling me that his daughter saw a Bigfoot across the road from the house here over on Red Blanket Hill. That's pretty close to where he stays out there by Cutbank Creek. And I guess they got a picture of his footprints. But I haven't had a chance to see him because they got him on a camera phone or something. And that was just yesterday, he told me. But down east of us, there was a couple Bigfoot sightings down in the flats where, you know, you'd never think you'd see them. But the cops and everything were called in on that. So, you know, it's all in the records, you know. And when me and Donna went up to the mountain, I fell down and got kind of skint up, but... you know, this lady that was on just at the top of the show, she confirmed what I was saying. You know, when we was coming off the mountain there, I was limping along and Donna was coming down the hill, and this thing started whistling at us, and it must have whistled at us for a good 2 or 3 minutes, but I would whistle back, but I stopped and looked around there. I couldn't see nothing, but there was something there, and it wasn't a person because we were the only two there. We were up on the mountain, and we were looking down, and there wasn't nothing down there, no people, no foot tracks or nothing. We did get a couple Bigfoot prints out of the trail there. There was one in a little spring-like. And the water was still on it, but the water wasn't running. It was just still, you know, and where he stepped in it. And another one up the trail a little bit. But just recently, that was the only one where Hiram seen it. And we've been keeping our eyes and ears open. I watch every day, twice a day. I go to work about 5 and come home about 4:30. And
you know, Bruce, I want to ask you a question that I asked Kenny in Pennsylvania. How has your encounter the footprints and all the stories that you've heard and the experience up there in Montana changed your life?
Oh,
if any.
We get out in the woods a lot more. We get a lot more fresh air, and everything is more exciting when we get out. And, boy, we look around, we hear things. You know, there's been three different times. I haven't seen them, but I know they're there because we got to check their footprints, you know. But they know that we're there. And this once was when we were up on the mountain, and this thing kept making noise in the brush like it was, oh, like a rock rolling through the brush or something, or he was, I can't explain it. It just kept going on and on and on and on, you know, like brush cracking and, you know, breaking and stuff like that. And another one was when the wind was blowing real hard. We were on alongside the mountain there. And down in the brush alongside the mountain there, I could hear these, not people, they were, it sounded like people, like a party or something, you know? But there was no people there, but I could hear, like a bunch of voices and stuff talking back and forth, you know? And Donna couldn't hear it, but I could hear it, and it intrigued me, you know, because I couldn't see nothing, but I know it was there. And, you know, I know they're there. They watch us when we leave our house, because when we get to the mountain, we can look back and we can see the road plumb to the mountain, and they probably watch me go to work and come home every day, and they know everything about us and all our neighbors too. So, you know, we can't sneak up on them. But one of these days, they're going to let us see them. This is the same place where this, my little brother, when he was 8 years old, his dad would take him back there hunting, and they saw this Bigfoot pack and an elk under one arm, a grizzly bear with a broken neck, and a dry spring dug out, you know, with a elk horn. And you know, this is the exact same spot. So, you know, I know.
I don't mean to interrupt because I'm getting late here into the show, but you know, people are listening to you right now and saying, "Wow, has an elk under its arm, a grizzly bear in his camp that he had downed." They're probably thinking to themselves, "Oh my God, what am I listening to here?" Do you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It's all true. It's all true.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Yes, here, Tom. I wouldn't shoot anybody a curve. You know, this is all true.
I know it, Bruce. And you know, we've been together now many years. We all know the truth. I just want to thank you for being our brethren, part of our family, and keep your ears close to the ground and your eyes open up in those trees, okay?
We will, Tom. We're not giving up yet. We haven't caught him yet.
That's right, brother. And thank you for being a part of our family. Mute yourself out. We still got a little bit more left on the show, okay?
Well, thank you, Tom, and God bless you and all the rest of the Bigfoot hunters. Nice. And we pray for the ones that's sick. We love you. Love you all.
Thank you. Thank you. Kiss Donna and the kids for me.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing excellent. How about you and me go up to Round Top? We make some wood.
Oh, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is my number one boy. This is Tommy Jr. I'm glad that you took out a few minutes here, if you can. I know that you're working now, son. I know that you got the good news also.
Yep.
But to make it in on the show, you know, for our anniversary, our fourth year anniversary, can you imagine, son, 4 years already?
I remember the first show we did. We were in Missouri. Wait a minute. No. You were in that hotel. I was setting up all your stuff. Was that Missouri or Mississippi?
Oh, my God, it was Missouri. You remember it.
Yes, yes.
We were on
to the phone.
Yes.
Well,
yes. But, my God, 4 years ago.
Yep.
Unbelievable. You remember that time. Well, I'm going to make now, son. Ladies and gentlemen, my son happened to be one of the people that were approved, and he's going to be in the reality show with some other people that you know on the members of my team. I'm not going to make that announcement. I'm making the announcement about my first son, my firstborn. He will be out there, and God willing, his health has gotten to be pretty good now. And he will be on TV, and you'll be seeing TJ and his dad and the rest of the team members real soon will be in your living room each and every week. Tommy, thank you so much. Let me ask you this. What was your most memorable experience on Expedition?
Well, it had to be the first one I went out with you when I saw the creature.
There you
know, that would be June 16th, 2007. So, you know.
Hey, gentlemen, those of you who have our movie, Bigfoot Lives, tells the whole story. And it's right there live in front of your face. We're running late, son. I got to get the rest of our guests in. God
gotcha.
Bless you. Thank you. Kiss everybody for me. And
I will.
Let's do it. Love you too, son. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
My firstborn, ladies and gentlemen, out there in Kentucky, he took off the job just to come in and say happy anniversary, and you've all seen him in the movie. You know he's my firstborn. Without any further ado, let's get out there to AZ. My other brother or my other son from another mother, Alex Hearn and Mitch Waite. Alex, you out there, son?
I sure am, Pop. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I understand that you guys were out again last weekend, huh?
Two weekends ago we were out, and Mitch has probably been out since then. Mitch?
Yeah, I just got caught back on Tuesday from an outing, which we had some pretty interesting stuff happen.
Oh, wow. And you know what, Mitch? Thank you so much. I sometimes fail to thank the people and our guests, but I get so enthralled in their stories. And this is another one, ladies and gentlemen, this guy Mitch Waite. He is out there continuously. He's out there doing the same thing that we all try to do, is try to prove that this creature exists. Here's another real man that gets out there and makes it happen. Without any further ado, Mitch, why don't you tell us from the beginning to the end what happened this last week when you were out?
Well, my son and I went up to Sierra Anchas, and we spent the evening. I have a new little camper that's made out of plywood that we sleep in. I call it my command center. But I had all my cameras trained on the picnic table where we had left some goodies out. And lo and behold, it never bothered those goodies. But it came over to the camper, and we got a recording of it breathing as it ruffled our camper around a little bit. And you can watch that on my website on the front page at www.mogionmonster.com.
So you've got an actual moaning and groaning of one of these creatures?
Yes, I do.
Wow, that's incredible. That's wonderful, as a matter of fact. So what's it sound like? Tell us. Give us a hint.
Well, its breaths are a lot longer than ours. And it sounds like it has sinus problems.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's quite interesting. You'll have to listen to the soundtrack.
Okay. What time of the night was it captured on the recording?
About 1:30 in the morning. And that was just after we had heard a howl in the distance. I had just gotten my tape recorder and sound equipment ready for a repeat, and that's when we picked up the breathing.
That's incredible. That is so incredible. How many days were you out for?
We were up there for 2 days, and then I had to come back.
So you're another situation like the rest of the people in the world, and every chance you can get, you're out there trying to see what you can find, right?
That's right. I used to have to work, but I've been recently laid off. So it's just a matter of money matters now.
I hear you. I hear you. Like so many people in this world. You know, let me ask you this. What's on the agenda for Mitch Waite?
Well, I keep trying to think out of the box, and each time they seem to outfox me one way or the other. But eventually, I'm going to get them to slip up, and I'm going to get that million-dollar photo.
There you go. There you go. I was waiting for somebody to come through and say it, and you did. You're the man. You're the man, Mitch Waite. You know what? Why don't you hold off here? I want to get my boy in here for a second. We only got a couple of minutes. Alex Hearn, you know, you're the other one that's been picked, along with our other brethren, to do the show. I just can't wait. It's going to be incredible, and we're all back out there. But I want you to tell all my listeners out there, Alex, what's been your most exciting expedition you were out there with the Bigfoot Hunter?
Well, I think it would have to be my first one also. The story I've told many times, and my one disappointment on that expedition is TJ wasn't there, so maybe I'll finally get to go out in the field with him. I've met him, but I haven't been out in the field with him. We were up in the White Mountains, north of McNary, and we had AK with us, AK's son, Chris and Star, a couple other people from the tribe, and we had Steve and Rob with us, and you guys were on the road with the thermal. We were up above you, fanned out to the right. AK and his kids were fanned out to the left. Actually, AK wasn't there, but his kids were there. They were fanned out to the left. And we all had night vision and heat seekers, and you had the thermal. And Steve caught a glimpse of something. So we came down the hill to Steve, and we lost whatever it is he had. We thought we saw it go behind a tree. We fanned out again, and I happened to get to position right by that tree. And lo and behold, you know, I was using the night vision, and I thought I saw something pop behind the tree. Nothing was there. Took the night vision down, was looking at it without the night vision, and it popped out right in front of me. And it did a little shake, and that's when you came over the radio and said you could see the three of us. You could see me in my shorts, in my T-shirt. I hadn't yet put on my my camouflage equipment, and but you could see something much bigger to my right without any shots or clothes on. So I heard it move, and I immediately started chasing it. And I kept chasing it. I could hear it, you know, just get a little further away, and it would seem like it would stop, and I would get close, and it would start crashing through the trees again. And it was just kind of toying with me. And you got to understand that the terrain there was very, you know, primitive. It wasn't a path. It was falling down trees and bushes and thorns and who knows what else and giant rocks. But it was real exciting, and the whole time you were calling back, what are you doing? Come back here. What are you doing?
And it's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. I was out there, and I did say all those things because I feared for his life as well as I do for a lot of people's lives. This has been one hellacious show, ladies and gentlemen. Marco, Bill, and myself both thank you from the bottom of our hearts to all of our guests, to all of you around the globe, around this beautiful world of ours. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about
the anniversary, Tom.
We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams. Break in day, we'd hear these siren-type screams.
We
but it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a
tree.
Turned to
manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot lives a movie
right now
at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Jabba Bob and the Bigfoot team, for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. What brought them together? Reason for the facts.